Well, good morning and God bless you all. Today I'm going to share sharing our hearts with Father God. I'm excited about this sharing because for the past 7.5 months, many of us throughout the U.S. and the globe have had to stay in isolation, for the most part due to a pandemic that's caused social distancing as a temporary way of life. None of us are old enough to have survived the last pandemic. Therefore, we've had to learn quite a bit about ourselves and our collective mindset. For many, it has been a time of fear, concern, social stress, financial hardship, depression, anxiety, and so on. I would like to share how it has been quite a different mindset for me personally, and am inspired to do so because I believe we can now utilize this time of unrest to foster a deeper and more pronounced relationship with our Creator. This is a time that we can take advantage and draw closer to God and to Jesus. As many of you know, I unfortunately lost my parents in 2018 and 2019, respectively. And during that time, I had to fly back and forth on a monthly basis to Puerto Rico to provide the necessary care for my folks while they were still bedridden and in hospice care. So basically, for a period of almost 2 years, I lived out of a suitcase and in many instances in a state of flux with a task list that felt like it was a mile long. By November of 2019, I had finally completed the care of my parents and their remaining legal obligations. And when I returned back to my house and my life with my beautiful wife and daughter, within months, it was announced that we would have to lock down due to a pandemic sweeping the globe. I, of course, recognized the gravity of such an announcement and was quite mindful of what I should do to exercise good judgment and consideration for my family and my fellow man. However, I have to admit that for a brief moment, I selfishly was glad that we would all have to slow down, and I welcomed the opportunity to be able to do so after having gone through what I went through the 2 years prior. When I asked God to forgive me for being selfish, He immediately corrected me and said, "Son, we now have a season in time in which we can become much more intimate." Needless to say, it warmed my heart tremendously. And it's the inspiration for this sharing. I immediately remembered Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, as saying to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God used it for good." You see, I believe that this season is an opportunity for those of us who believe in God as the Creator of all and Jesus as His only begotten Son, Redeemer of our souls into a promise of life eternal on earth as it is in heaven, can therefore expand our relationship with our Creator and our Savior into a level of intimacy that can foster joy, peace, comfort, provision, health, love, and honor to our lives and to those around us while we are participants and partakers in this earthly experience. So how exactly does that relationship happen? Well, a simple example I can use from my own personal experience is in the morning when I'm laying in bed, the first thing I speak in my mind or aloud is, "Good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus." and I wait until I hear a response back, which at this point in my life is instantaneous, but didn't start out that way. In the beginning, I would sometimes have to wait upwards of 15 minutes to sense a response. You see, I was learning to find the right frequency in my heart to tune into. This now familiar voices of my Father and my Savior. As I prepare for my day, through general bathroom duties and cleaning up, I strike up conversation with both of them. And depending on what I need to know, feel, learn, or enjoy, it fosters a stronger bond between us. First thing I used to do before I started this was grab my phone and see what was happening overnight in the world. Not a good idea. This is a much better way to start my day. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Scripture says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray." I very much love that record because it's a reminder that if it was important for my Lord and Savior, maybe I should make it important for me as well. What do you think? Fortunately, we don't have to go very far to find an isolated place, right? My favorite time in the morning is shortly after spending some time with my wife and daughter, just sitting down to do some journaling with a warm cup of coffee before the tasks of my day or my work starts. It doesn't require big production. In truth, it takes maybe 10, 30 minutes, depending on how long I feel like spending. As I prepare for my workday, I sit or stand at my computer, and the first thing I do is prayerfully ask, "Father, clear my mind and my heart to hear your voice clearly and to discern the promptings of the Holy Spirit without interference in Jesus' name." Like David in Psalm 86, verse 1, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help." As I progress in my workday, my heart and mind's desire to hear his voice to answer my prayers, supplications, and requests, because without his help, I know I'm not going to succeed. Do we include our Heavenly Father in our daily lives as we perform our work? It's a question we should ask ourselves each and every day. I know that when I was in an office setting with others around me and constant interruptions throughout the day, not so much. But for those of us who may now have the privilege to work from home or in an isolated office setting, I implore you to take advantage of this season and include God and Jesus in your daily routine and develop intimacy with them. You won't regret it. It will fill you with joy beyond words. As an example, for me as a futures day trader, I have to navigate the futures markets on a daily basis. I typically call this my swimming in shark-infested waters time of my day. I know that the days when I don't approach the waters with God and Jesus by my side, I can surely count on a bloody day for me, financially speaking. However, on the days when I have them by my side, the sharks either ignore me, maybe bite on my neoprene suit a little bit, then they move on. But mostly we swim together in harmony, and I walk away financially stronger. Yay, God. Father reminded me of the records of his servants preparing for battle or difficult tasks, always included time with him in preparation for the challenge forthcoming. Let's take a look at some examples in the Psalms from David, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 18, verse 6. "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." in Psalm 34, verse 4. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Man, I've been there. Psalm 34, verse 6. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. In Psalm 38, verse 16, I prayed, don't let my enemies gloat over me or rejoice at my downfall. Psalm 41, verse 4. O Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. That particular prayer, 41:4, I absolutely love, because I know it's been a saving grace for me the minute I realize I have not aligned myself with my Heavenly Father, my Lord. I can arrest my thoughts and change and move on for the rest of my day on the proper path. And man, let me tell you, it is phenomenal. In Psalm 118, verse 5, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. This is the type of heart that I've been developing and fostering during this season of lockdown, because I know that it has awakened a renewed spirit within me and a sense of understanding that transcends the immediate. Something I like to do is work on cars, our cars in particular. I've got two older cars, so it's always something to be fixed. This is the when I service my cars, I always include Jesus in the task at hand. And I must say, he knows exactly what I need before I ever open my mouth. Do you include Jesus actively in your tasks around the home or elsewhere? You should. I have conversations with Jesus as I'm working on my cars. And if I run into a problem that I need to overcome, I ask him, Lord, what can I do here to resolve this issue? For me, since I'm very visual, he always shows me a 3D diagram of how it comes apart or is put together. And if I can visualize it, then I have the ability to resolve it. The solutions that our Lord desires to provide are very different. They're very intimate because we are all uniquely made. Therefore, Jesus will most certainly personalize it to suit your uniqueness. Isn't that awesome? I think it's phenomenal. I have yet to finish a task where I've not felt so much loving caring from my risen Lord. And it fosters a sense of loving gratitude that sometimes overwhelms me and can bring me to tears. Intimacy is really what our Christianity is supposed to be all about. Intimacy with our Creator, intimacy with our Lord and Messiah, and intimacy with our loved ones. And this will automatically cause a dramatic spillover to caring, compassion, and kindness towards our fellow man. If we, the chosen of God, are going to spend all of eternity with Christ Jesus and our Creator God, shouldn't we desire to know their voice and their heart for us on a higher level of intimacy, so that we can prepare for such a day when the kingdom of God will be our home? I say, yeah. And I personally want to get dialed in now to the best of my abilities each and every day. After all, it says in Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, for at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You see, we now have an opportunity to break from distraction at the very least, arrested from our lives with greater ease than before. Although Jesus didn't have a cell phone or a laptop or an automobile or houses, you name it, the stuff that we have today, he lived in a world of distraction just as we do today. Yet he made the time to quietly pray and talk to his heavenly Father. If this wonderful man, Son of the Most High God, Redeemer of mankind, King of kings, and Lord of lords, made time each and every day to walk and talk with God, then shouldn't we do the same? I'm pretty confident that my busiest day was definitely not as busy as my Messiah's. I'm just saying. Another great opportunity that we can enjoy during this isolation period is investing time in listening to uplifting music as we carry on with our day. Preferably music that can inspire us to reflect on our close relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Messiah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "And David and all Israel played before God with all of their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." In Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." With singing. So we should spend time singing to our Heavenly Father, for it gives him joy to hear our voices as we rejoice in him. The key benefit of navigating through these isolation times is that for many of us, that's probably the first opportunity we've had in our lives to control or exercise authority over our daily environment. Meaning, if you're working from home or in a private space like many of us are, you can now dictate what enters your sphere. And therefore, you can say, you have a say into what you will absorb on any given day for many days on end. As you string together these days in which you and Father have a say on what enters and what stays out, you can form new habit patterns that can serve you for many years to come. You see, I believe that this particular season, which has been intended to harm us, may be an opportunity to prepare for when we return to normality. With a stronger relationship with our Heavenly Father and the ability to know him and our Lord Jesus more intimately, with that type of empowered mindset, we can go forth boldly and proclaim the goodness of God to a world that will not only be hungry for the truth, but exhausted from this season of uncertainty and fear. We will have the ability to be shining beacons of God's greatness and love to a world that not only needs it now, but will certainly need it coming off the heels of this pandemic. For we know from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Therefore, this season will offer all of us who have a burning passion for God and Jesus the necessary vital relationship to be able to shine brightly for all to see that our Heavenly Father has endowed us with tremendous favor, and that will be attractive to a decaying world that's been through a once-in-a-lifetime health incident. We will especially be prepared to comfort those who have lost loved ones to this pandemic and comfort them with the promises of the Word. I'd like to close with a record in John chapter 11 regarding Lazarus. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That was revelation through intimacy with God. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he was lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I think about how she must have felt when she heard that. Verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus replied unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast seen here my brother, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a grave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That was confirmation of God's revelation. Verse 42, And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loosen him, let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the thing which Jesus did, believed on him. Glory to God. You see, I believe that just as Jesus spoke in John 11:41, when he said, And Jesus filled up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. We too shall be well prepared to accomplish that which our heavenly Father desired of each and every one of us, even to raise a soul from the dead, if it is his will. And by spending time with him and tuning into his voice, we will be well prepared to will and to do of his good pleasure. So please, I implore you, take advantage of this period of time and prepare to hear God's voice and Jesus' voice, and strengthen, fortify your relationship with your heavenly Father and risen Lord, so that you may be well prepared to accomplish God's will on earth as it is in heaven, and be an active participant in ushering in the kingdom of God. This season, folks, is an opportunity for those of us who love God and Jesus Christ to become empowered and strengthened and made complete in order to fulfill God's will each and every day forward, starting right now. I hope, I trust, I pray daily that you may be inspired by this time and become strengthened in spirit and in truth to the fulfilling of God's will for each of you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.